to Parked Car Convos. I'm Maddie Mitchell, and I am your host today and always, because, well, quite frankly, this is literally my podcast, so who else is going to host it? Happy freaking Monday. I hope you guys had a fabulous weekend. Hope you're feeling well-rested. I hope you have all of the energy in the world to tackle kind of just whatever life throws at you this week, and I don't think that that's asking too much from your favorite podcast host. This is the last episode of March, which is kind of crazy. I can't believe we're already at the end of March. That, as always, is not sitting well with me whatsoever. I can't fathom that. Like, it's going to be April, and then it'll be May, and then it'll be June, and then, like, half the year is over. Like, that's not even a little bit okay. But it is officially spring, which is crazy because the day that I'm recording this, naturally, the Saturday before this episode comes out, there's, you know, snowstorms around the Northeast. Luckily, it's not snowing where I am. It's just raining here today. But it's snowy and it's just not feeling like spring at all. This past week hasn't been feeling like spring. It's been kind of cold and the sun has been out. But also, does anyone else get mad when it's like sunny out but it's freezing, like frigid freezing? It's been so windy too. And so it makes me feel guilty for not going outside and spending time outside because it looks gorgeous out. It looks fun and warm, but then you go outside and you're like, oh, I've been bamboozled because it is freezing and the sun just happens to be out. But it's just not fun. I need the warmth to come back. And I feel like I was kind of duped because we had slightly warm weather for a little bit and then they went and took it from me, and that's not feeling fair to me, if I'm being honest with you. Anyways, this week's episode is a classic gossip episode. I am so excited. These have quickly become some of my favorite episodes to record because I love hearing the tea. There's always so much tea. You guys have so much going on in your lives. Or I guess I really should say the people in your lives have so much going on in their lives because so much of the gossip is really courtesy of them. And I thank them so much for their service at this moment. But I'm excited to dive into that. Before we get into that, let's jump into peak and valley of the week. My peak of the week, it's been a very kind of chill week for me, which is nice. And that will tie into my valley of the week too. But it was just kind of a nice peaceful week for me. And one thing that we did this week, we meaning my family, we watched a ton of Melissa McCarthy movies. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but like that will kind of cure some of your sadness. That's not scientific fact, but that is something that was really helpful for me. We watched Spy. I had never seen that movie. I think it's from like 2013 or 2014 or maybe even 2015. That movie is so good. It's so good. And Melissa McCarthy is just so funny. She's just hilarious. And so you just can never go wrong. But we watched Spy. Then we watched The Heat, which is such a classic, but I don't think I had seen it in years. Another great movie to watch. Then we watched Identity Thief. That one's not my favorite. It's like, okay, it's good, but it's like not my favorite. And then we watched Bridesmaids, which of course is like less Melissa McCarthy, more, you know, Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph, but it's still so good. But you guys should watch Spy. That's such a good movie. I also watched I watched the Sydney Sweeney Glenn Powell rom-com because that's on Amazon Prime. You can rent it on Amazon Prime, and I watched that. I will just say, like, I know that it's like a cheesy rom-com, but like I ate it up. Because one thing about me in a rom-com is I'm going to eat it up every single time. Like, it's just gonna hit. And I want more rom-coms in 2024 and then also in 2025 and probably also in 2026. That would be great. We just need more rom-coms. So yeah, my peak of the week was distracting myself with Melissa McCarthy movies. You just can't go wrong. And then my valley of the week is I was an anxious wreck. I was just like kind of an anxious ball of stress and agony for the entire week for something that has since been, thank God, alleviated. So that's fabulous. But that was kind of why I was just laying low all week, was because I was not in the space to be doing it. I wasn't in the space to be laying high. Do you know what I mean? I could not possibly bring myself to lay high in any capacity. So I had no choice but to lay low. And, you know, it was just one of those weeks. But yeah, so those are my peak and valley. My past the Ox song of the week. Okay, so Olivia Rodrigo came out with 5 new songs on Friday. That was a fun little treat. I am obsessed with them. 2 of them, I'm going to forget the names of them now because I haven't listened to them enough. I love Obsessed, obviously, but I think it's Girl I've Always Been and Stranger and also Scared of My Guitar. They all sound so not Olivia Rodrigo-y. They just are such a different like sound for her, and I love it. It's so good. So I'm eating that up. I've also been listening to the Ariana Grande album a little bit too. So it's just fun to have some new music in the circulation. And I feel like even more new music is coming out in the next couple weeks, which is crazy. It's also crazy when, you know, when like when Taylor released or announced that she was releasing a new album in April, in my mind, I was like, oh, that's so far away. And now I'm like, oh, it's literally April so soon. Like, that's just not, it's just crazy. I just literally, me every single episode talking about how it's insane how fast time elapses. Like, okay, move on. You should be used to it by now. You're 25. Like, time has been kind of proceeding at the same rate for the last 25 years. Anyways, traffic report. I asked you guys on Instagram this morning for traffic report. Let me see if you guys, what you guys said. I asked specifically for something, what did I say? Something fun and light and fun. I couldn't have made that more clear. And you guys gave me something that was sad and bleak and awful. You guys were giving me really, really sad things to work with. It's kind of like you totally missed the memo right above where I said something fun and light and fun. So I'm working with what I have. And this also is not fun and light and fun, but it's just kind of like in the news right now, is the new documentary on HBO Max about Nickelodeon. Oh my God. That is crazy. Quiet on Set. It's awful. It's awful. It's called Quiet on Set, in case you guys haven't heard of it or you want to go watch it. It's like a 4-part docuseries, which it's a pretty like fast watch in that sense, but it is awful. It's just awful. And it's one of those things where I feel like for the last, probably more so in the last like 5 years, people have been talking about Nickelodeon a lot. I know there, I've seen so many videos and discussions about how so many of like the jokes on the show are weirdly sexual, considering it's a show for children, for like children as young as like 6 years old. Like, it's just weird. And so I feel like this has been kind of like a long time coming in that sense, because I feel like it's been like bits and pieces of things coming out for a while now. And now it just kind of all came to a head. But it is a really sad documentary. And it's also crazy because something I see a lot when people are talking about like family vloggers is how they are, it's so unregulated, right? Like, if you are the child that has to participate in family vlogging, like, there's no regulations, there's no rules that they have to follow. They don't have like regulated breaks and regulated, you know, time frames that they can work and like time limits, because I think a lot of the times that's something that we see with like family vloggers, is that it's like their entire day, 7 days a week, is just like being in front of the camera. And that's obviously not good for literally anyone. But it's funny because I always see this comparison of like, well, family vloggers are like so unregulated, but with child actors, it's supposed to be so much more, you're so much more protected. And that definitely is true to some extent in terms of like financially and again, like working hours and things like that. But it's just, it's funny that I think a lot of people are like, oh, but like, that's kind of like the standard of like what it should be for family vloggers and things like that. And it's like, clearly there is so much that is amiss with the regulations, and just what's going on set with these child actors. And it is just, it's so sad. It's so disgusting. And then there was the big revelation about Drake Bell that was awful and so, so, so sad. But to hear that man who did those things to Drake Bell went on to work at another children's show after he had gone to court and like was convicted. It's like so unfathomably backwards and insane to me. It's all awful, but the documentary was really well made. And I think they captured like a lot of different facets of what it was like working for Dan Schneider that were kind of interesting and a lot of things that I don't think people had talked about before. And, you know, I just think anytime you can shed light on these things is good. And it's so important to do so and to like make people aware, but it is just crazy, crazy and awful and terrible. And don't you just love the world that we live in, right? It's so great here. There's really no good way to pivot from that. So I'm just going to kind of announce we are now pivoting. We're pivoting to a different topic that will hopefully bring us some joy. We'll pivot to some joy if that's all right with everyone. Really quickly though, one thing I do want to say is make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram at parkedcarcombos.pod. That's where you can find the links to write in to these fabulous episodes and you can participate and kind of be a part of the family. And you can also become passenger of the week if you submit a picture of your car's radio screen listening to this episode, or you can submit a Parked Car Convos related meme. That is always so fun and festive and we love it so much. Honestly, I love it so much. I can only speak for myself. So speaking for myself, I do love it so much. And also I am trying to get the podcast to a certain number of ratings on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify by the end of March. And this is my last chance to communicate that to you this way. We're making progress. We are certainly making progress on Apple. We're at 867. Would love to get to 1,000 by the end of March, but I will take what I can get. You can also just like a reminder, like you can steal your friend's phone. You can kind of give a rating that way. It's, you know, how you go about it is none of my business. And on Spotify, we're at 1,800. Would love to get to 2,000 on Spotify. So just throwing that out there as kind of like a happy Women's History Month, Maddie. Here's a 5-star rating. I don't know. It's like, it's totally up to you. The ball is in your court at the end of the day. And I just appreciate you guys listening at all. Make sure to share this podcast with a friend or post it on your Instagram story. Do whatever you see fit to kind of spread the good word. I really do appreciate that truly more than you know. Also, we are coming up on the 100th episode of Parked Car Convos, which is so, so insane to me. I'm pretty sure it is the second episode in April. So two weeks from when you guys are listening to this, which is crazy. And I was trying to think of like something fun I could do. And I asked you guys and you guys were like, oh, just do another episode. And I was like, do a fun bonus episode. Thank you. But my favorite way to celebrate isn't necessarily typically by performing additional labor. That's not something I view as celebratory. Do you know what I mean? Love you guys. I love it here. Obviously, I've been doing this for almost 100 episodes. That's not something that I'm seeing in our future. That being said, if you have any fun ideas of what you think the 100th episode should be, what we should talk about. Also, people are like, oh, you should get the best moments of all the, I wouldn't even know. I'm flattered that you think I have the like technical capabilities to do so. I wouldn't even know how to begin. Also, that would require me to listen to 100 podcast episodes and find the best moments. That's feeling like, to speak my truth, torture. That is feeling like torture. I would have to listen to myself for roughly 100 hours to determine what parts were deemed the best. That's feeling like a slippery slope. That's feeling like we would have to end the podcast at 100 episodes. That's feeling like it would cause something of an existential crisis that would make me say, why am I doing this? Okay, let's pull the plug. Do you know what I'm saying? So we're not going to do that. Anyways, if you have any like fun, like, oh, you should do this for the 100th episode, let me know. Despite this past 2-minute rant, I am open to ideas and I'm open to suggestions. With this all being said, getting all of this out of the way, do you guys want to gossip with me? Should we gossip now? Let's have a little gab sesh, shall we? Okay. Just diving in here. All right. So my mom had to divorce my ex-stepdad when I was younger because he was an alcoholic. But we just found out that during their entire marriage, my aunt was sleeping with him. And the even crazier part was my aunt was the one who introduced my mom to him. She spoke at their wedding and was the only other person in the room when I was born, and we would go over to their house almost weekly. So yeah. And when my mom asked her about it, she said that my mom was a fucking idiot for not noticing, and that her, my aunt's husband, knew the entire time and didn't care. What? What on God's green earth? Also, this is crazy. This is crazy for, well, this is crazy. And I could stop there, but I'm not going to, obviously, because, well, I have to talk for roughly an hour here. So we're not going to stop now. We're only 15 minutes in. This is the thing that is crazy to me. If so, the aunt met the stepdad at some point. They met before she introduced him to your mom. So it's like they met at some point, and it's like, did it not, like, did she start to, like, have an attraction to him then? Like, did she like him then? Because it's such a weird thing to introduce someone that you are interested in to someone else romantically. Like, why would you do that? Why did she do that in the first place? You could have saved everyone, like a whole bunch of kind of pain and suffering if you just had kept him to yourself in that sense. Like, you didn't have to do that, and you created the problem so that you could cheat. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's weird. That's weird. And then she spoke at the wedding, the gall. My favorite part though is that when confronted, she said, yeah, and you're a fucking idiot for not noticing. That is insane behavior. That is nothing shy of kind of insane behavior. What a weird time to, like, victim blame someone and to insult their intelligence. It's also like, am I a fucking idiot, or did I just assume that my husband wasn't sleeping with my sister? Right? Why would I, maybe that's just like weird of me that wouldn't have crossed my mind. Why would that have been a thought that I would have ever had? Because for normal people, that's not a thought that they have. That's not something that's like constantly in their consciousness. Do you know what I mean? I don't like that. I don't like that. It's just, it's all around bad. B-A-D, capital B-A-D. Okay, moving on. First off, your podcast literally makes life worth living. Oh my God, that's so weird. Sorry, I'm looking for the rest of it. I can't find it. That's all she wrote. Weird. Kidding. Anyways, so this happened last year, but honestly, the insanity of it still hasn't faded. So basically, this is about my mom's family, which we have known since they immigrated to the US. So the story centers around this guy, a family friend, and his wife. He had been feeling sick for a while, and I guess him and his wife had been fighting because he suddenly got suspicious of her. Suspicious of what, you might ask? Poisoning him. So he put out a camera and caught her sneaking Drano into whatever drink she gave him every day, slowly killing him. He reported her to the police, and obviously they're getting a divorce. And my grandma has sent everyone and their mother the article about the case and a million pics of them together to prove she knows the guy that was poisoned with Drano. Love you, queen. Stay safe out there. That? No. First of all, okay, again, so many thoughts here, and I'm not victim blaming. I want to make that very clear. Drano has to have a taste. It has to have a very strong taste, I would imagine. I've never consumed it, and I don't plan on consuming it literally ever in my life. I want to make that very clear. That can't be something that is easy to disguise the taste of. That's why people use, like, actual poison, because oftentimes actual poison doesn't have a flavor, I think. This is me lying. This is me jumping to conclusions. I'm just saying, if you were like a professional poisoner, you would use something that was super easy to disguise the flavor of, because why would you use Drano? Also, for those of you who don't know what Drano is, I'm reading the exact definition. Drano is a household drainage cleaner. So you pour it down into like shower drains or like down sinks to like clean out the pipes, like to make sure that everything drains properly. Do you know what I mean? That's obviously, if you couldn't tell from that, I clearly strayed from reading the looked up definition. I'm going to continue reading that now. Made from either sodium hydrochlorate, sodium hydroxide, sodium chloride, sodium nitrate, and aluminum. How does it work? Once poured down the drain, Drano works to create a chemical reaction to decompose organic matter, causing the blockage. Yeah, so when your drains are blocked, you pour it down and it cleans out the drains for you. So she was just trying to clean out his drains. She was trying to clean out any blockages he might have been having. It's not, listen, that has to, I want you to look it up right now if you've never seen Drano. Like, it is a very thick, viscous gel almost. Like, I don't understand how she could be easily hiding that in whatever drinks she's giving. Like, I don't think it would even dissolve well into, like, water. It's just, I find that to be very interesting that that would be her poison of choice. Like someone said, like she said, pick your poison and she went Drano. It's just odd. There's so many other choices. Again, I don't know from experience, but like there are so many other choices. Okay, so he starts to get suspicious that she is poisoning him with Drano, obviously. And so he puts out a camera to catch her sneaking Drano into, it's too much. It's kind of giving like she wanted to, like she heard that you could poison people and she was like, I guess I'll just use this like cleaner I have under the sink. Do you know what I mean? She didn't go out of her way. It's lazy poisoning is what it is at the end of the day. She was like, okay, I want to poison him. And that was a choice that she made. For some reason, and she made that choice. And then she said, I don't really know anything about, like, she did no research is what I'm getting at, which is just like, if you're gonna do it, like, you have to do it right. You have to go all in. And I'm not condoning this. And I feel as though I'm teetering on that line. And I want to make it super clear, but it's just kind of giving like, oh, what do I have laying around the house that I could poison him with? It's not giving what she thought it was giving at the end of the day. And now it's giving jail time. And now what? Now what is she going to do? Because he has it on camera. Like, you can't get more definitive evidence than getting it on camera, than catching her in the act. That is crazy. It's also interesting that they said they had been fighting because he suddenly got suspicious of her. And then you said suspicious of what? Poisoning him. So did he confront her and say like, this is a weird thing for me to ask you. Have you been poisoning me? ? Like, you have to have a lot of confidence that is what's going on to confront your wife about that. Do you know what I mean? Like, there has to be a lot of things going on behind the scenes internally in your body that you can be like, the only logic, because it's like, I don't know what the symptoms of getting poisoned by Drano are. I don't want to know ever. Can't stress that enough. But I would think that like he wouldn't be feeling well, like he would be experiencing some physical symptoms, and to then be like, oh, I'm experiencing these symptoms and the only logical explanation is that my wife is poisoning me. Like, we're missing something. Because if you started to not feel well, you would be like, oh, I'm sick, or like something's going on, or like I should go to the doctor. Like, to immediately jump to like, I'm suspicious of you because I'm not feeling well and I think you're putting something in my food and my drinks. That's, you never want to be in that relationship. That's what I'll say. You never want that to be, you don't want that to be you. Like, when you start to not feel well, you immediately think that like, oh, your partner could very well be like dosing your food with Drano. You don't want to, that's not the relationship you want to be in. Don't say I never gave you guys good advice. Let's move on from the Drano of it all. Okay. So I had a chemistry teacher in school. He was pretty charming and young. He was also good at drawing portraits. Random detail for this chemistry teacher. Like, love that for him. He's so multifaceted. In the high school, I started the art club. Okay, Slay, look at you. Look at you, you little art club queen. Where he was going to. He was going as well. Sorry, I read that totally incorrectly. So he was also attending this art club. Okay. We also had this gorgeous ginger girl. I mean, his age. Okay, I'm confused. I think what she's saying is that there was another there was a ginger woman, not to be confused with the gingerbread woman. Sorry. I don't know where that came from. Okay. There was another, I'm assuming that she means there was another teacher that was a ginger because she said his age. So there's two teachers that are in this art club. One is the chemistry teacher and one is this gingerbread woman. They had really good chemistry and they always sat together while drawing and chatted. We were shipping them hard. But then I discovered that he actually had a pregnant wife. No. After I graduated, I heard that he left to another country with the ginger girl. No. Listen, one thing I've learned about these gossip stories is that there's always the pregnant wife. I don't know who needs to hear this. Chances are, like, knowing how many of you guys listen to this episode, like, one of you, I hate to say it, he has a pregnant wife. Like, I hate to say it. Just, like, playing the numbers game. And that's awful. And I hate that for you. But just, like, investigate. Do your due diligence. Not that you should have to. But it's just the world that we live in. The world that we live in is there's always a pregnant wife. And he's sleeping with his cousin. Like, that is just where we're at. That is the state of the world. I'm not happy with it. I have not made peace with it. But it is where we're at. And I need you guys to know that. I need you to be as well informed as you can to kind of, like, navigate day to day. Okay? God. Let's move on. Maybe this one will be better. I always say that. And it's, like, it's insurmountably worse. Okay. Not sure if you count this as juicy gossip, but my boyfriend asked me to marry him. All while having a fling with my brother-in-law. What? What do you consider to be juicy gossip if this is not juicy gossip? I'm sorry. Your boyfriend asked you to marry him while he was having a fling with your brother-in-law who is married to your sister and has three kids? I found out by going through his phone and broke up with him with another excuse. I'm sorry. I have never told anyone, so my sister still doesn't know. I am reeling. The way that you, okay, your boyfriend cheated on you with your own brother-in-law and you found out and you broke up with him for some other reason, that is, I don't know whether to applaud because that would take a huge amount of willpower that I don't think anyone has. You found out your boyfriend cheated on you and you could have popped the fuck off and you didn't. You swallowed your pride and you said, I'll break up with him for some other reason. And then you never told your sister. What's up with that? That is your sister. That is your flesh and blood. Oh my good God. Again, not blaming you because it's a weird position to be in. Sure. Yeah. Yes. Again, would love to circle back to the way that she started this sentence. Not sure if you count this as juicy gossip. What else would it be? I think you're severely downplaying the situation. This is insanely juicy gossip. I'm concerned that you're not seeing it as such. I don't think you're understanding the severity of the situation, but I hope you're doing okay. Cause this is not, that's not for the faint of heart. It's not. No one should have to, and you certainly shouldn't have to ever go through with that. Okay, everyone, take a deep breath and let's move on to the next. My best friend's husband got a coworker pregnant. Lovely. About 2 years ago, she saw a TikTok on how to restore deleted texts on a Samsung phone. She did it to her husband's phone and found pics and texts between him and another woman. He denied it at first, but then admitted it. Like, she's showing you pictures that you sent from your phone and he's like, wasn't me. The gall, the literal gall. He denied it at first, but then admitted it, promised to change, switch shifts at work, block her, etc. Fast forward to this past December, 2023, the girl posts a pic of her baby on Facebook and he looks identical to my friend's son when he was a baby. She confronts her husband. He blows up and denies it. On January 2nd, he moved out and tonight he calls her over to his parents' house and drops the bomb that the baby is for sure his. No. This one's different. He didn't have a pregnant wife. He had a pregnant mistress. So that's better. Oh, wait. It isn't. Oh, wait, it isn't at all. That's what? What? What a lame, lame loser. It's also crazy to me how, like, what was the world before the internet? Do you know what I mean? Because if Facebook didn't exist, also if the phone didn't exist, was there less cheating before phones or more? I don't know. And we'll never know, probably. But there's just, like, it's all, they would never have even known about the baby if it wasn't for Facebook. But also she would never have even known that he was cheating on her if it wasn't for his phone. It's just, where does it end? Is technology good or is it evil? That is a discussion for another day. Obviously, I'm not going to dive into that now for so many reasons. All right, Jesus Christ, I found out a few days ago that a large portion of my extended family has been saying I'm a meth addict, okay, for the last 2 years because I had a psychotic episode. That's a jump. It's a jump to take like a mental health crisis and say she's a meth addict. Okay, I'm going to continue reading. I'm actually just bipolar and wasn't diagnosed or medicated back then. Now they are accusing me of being high. For telling them they're wrong in the most polite way possible. It is funny because anyone that actually knows me would think that it's a hilarious accusation. So now I'm just posting weird Insta stories for them to see with songs like High for Hours. That is hilarious. That is hilarious, objectively. You just fully play into it. You start posting like stock photos of meth. I don't think that exists, and for good reason. I'm not going to Google it. I was tempted for a brief second to Google it. I'm not going to do it, but I don't think it exists, because how would they obtain? It would have to be illegally obtained. And then they're just like boldly posting on like a stock image site. It's not seeming like it exists, but I think that's funny. I think you're funny. And that's a really, really great way of dealing with it. Honestly, way to roll with the punches. I don't think I would have that. I don't think I would have it in me. All right, my friend has 2 kids with her husband of 8 years. Okay, at least so she thought. That's funny because it makes it seem like she doesn't have 2 kids. She's been imagining one of these children the entire time. Even worse, she's been imagining the husband of 8 years the entire time. I'm kidding. I don't know what the rest of the story is, so I'm probably going to regret making this silly little joke. He never submitted their marriage certificate to the courts. Cheated with the nanny. Then secretly married the nanny because she needed a green card. Okay, I have a lot of logistical questions here because I know when you get married, you have to, like, taxes are different because you're a married person. Like, I think of every single form I've ever filled out and you have to check, like, single or married. It's for a reason, like, there's a reason for that, right? So she the entire time had been like, this is a horrible story, but like my question is like, how are they filing taxes? Like, that's what I'm needing to know. How were they able to evade the technicality of like not actually being married, or how is he able to evade that? Obviously she didn't know that it didn't exist, but that is, and also just like kind of a new fear unlocked. Like, he never submits the marriage certificate. What a crazy thing to even ponder. I can't even fathom. And then the gall to get married to another person while your wife thinks that you are married. It's just, I don't know. I don't understand why and how someone could have such a preposterous idea and then think, let's do it. Do you know what I mean? It's one thing to have the preposterous idea and to be like, wouldn't it be crazy if like, I got married to the nanny. But then to actually like agree with yourself so much that you end up following through, nothing shy of truly, truly terrifying and delusional. Because the thing with that is like, where does it end? Do you know what I mean? It has to stop at some, like something has to give at some point. Someone is going to find out. Like, it's too murky, like legally there's too many crossed wires there that it's like, how did you envision this ending ever? Or were you just gonna continue to live out these two relationships for the rest of your lives. I don't know. I don't get it. Okay. A coworker was constantly cheating on her husband. Another man sent her flowers at work, which is a school, so obviously all 100 plus women were talking about it. Then she leaves her husband because she said he's a cokehead and an alcoholic. She immediately moves in with a man that she and her husband were friends with. She gets pregnant. A few weeks after finding out she's pregnant, she decides the baby daddy's personality changed, and now he's controlling and an alcoholic. She went right back to her husband. Their divorce was supposed to be finalized this past Monday, but they dismissed it last week. So now she's back with him, but 12 weeks pregnant with another man's baby. Messy. I think she seems like the type of person that's like, I just always need there to be excitement in my life to an insane degree constantly. Like, she just loves the drama of it all. She loves the theatrics. That's kind of what I'm getting. She is seeking the most chaotic and kind of unhinged situation, and she's following that. She's following her passion in that sense. It's insane. It's crazy. And how do you explain that to other people? Like, how do you live? That's my question. Like, how do you go about your daily life? Like, you talk to your, like, what do her friends think? Imagine being friends with this woman and she's like, I'm leaving my husband. And you're like, you know what? It's probably for the best. Like, good for you. Get out of that house. Like, I support you. And then she's like, okay, I just moved in with this other guy. And you're like, well, okay, well, that was kind of fast. Because you literally just left your husband, but okay. All right. Well, maybe this guy will be, you know, the love of your life. Maybe this is great. Hey, I'm pregnant. Oh, okay. So you're having a baby with him. Okay. That was really, really quick, like absurdly quick, kind of out of this world quick that happened, but good for you. Guess what? This guy he's an alcoholic and he's controlling and I hate him and I'm leaving him. Oh no, I'm so sorry. I'm sure that had nothing to do with the way that you rushed into this relationship and maybe you ignored some red flags at the beginning there that you could have avoided, but okay, I fully support you. This is great. Get out, maybe be by yourself for a little while. I think that would be really good and healing and therapeutic for you. Okay, so I'm going back to my husband. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we dismissed our divorce. But I am 12 weeks pregnant with the other man's baby. Like, oh my God. My question is, like, how do you even keep up with your own life at that point in time? How? It's too much for one person, and you can't keep that up for the rest of your life. It's too messy for any one person to kind of handle on their own. My mom's coworker just got scammed out of 10 grand from a guy who messaged her on Facebook, managed to get like 8 grand of it back through the bank. But then the same guy who scammed her messaged her again to apologize for stealing her money. She then proceeded to hand the money over to him again. Safe to say the bank told her to get rotted this time. I don't know what that means. So if that is something bad, I'm just reading what's written. I feel like that's some sort of British slang. And I think I'm right, because it often is. The bank told her to get rotted. That's with a D, RODDED. I don't know. So poor old Shelly is out of thousands by getting scammed by the same guy twice. I need to know more, because I need to know in what circumstance ever you would be giving a man via Facebook $10,000. That's insane. That's insane. That's a large, large, large amount of money. Because I think a lot of times people get scammed on Facebook, like through Facebook Marketplace, because they're like buying furniture or buying, I don't know, furniture, like stuff for your home. You buy furniture on Facebook Marketplace. And I feel like people get scammed like $100 for a dresser or something like that. So I'm needing to know why ever it was like normal for her to be sending $10,000 over Facebook Messenger. One thing I will say though, because I do have a dear friend of mine who has been scammed, nothing shy of kind of several times this past year alone. No, this past calendar year for sure. And every time she's gotten scammed, she explains it to me and I'm like, I get it. Like, I get it. I can never say that, like, I totally would have done the same thing, but I get it. Like, scams are getting good. They're getting really good. I feel like it used to be so obvious that, like, okay, this is clearly not real. Like, this is a scam, but they're getting sneaky. And so I do feel for her. Although I lose a little bit of that when he came back as himself and said, so sorry about stealing your money. What could he have possibly said in that apology that possessed her to hand over $10,000 back to him? What were the words he used? He's a magician. And I hate to say it, he deserves that money. He worked hard for it. I'm kidding. He's a piece of shit, obviously. The scammer is a piece of shit. But, like, what did he say? Like, what? I need to know more, because I need to know how that unraveled. I would think that if I got scammed and then that same guy that scammed me messages me again, I would say, oh, hello, block button. Long time no see, block, get the, or I would have some choice words. I would have some choice words for that man. I would ream that man out. It's also crazy to me that he didn't block you, because that's something that a lot of scammers do, is once they get the money from you, they block you so that you can never find their page. So when you go to, like, report it, you can't find it. There's nothing to report. That's like a common trick of the trade. It's kind of their classic move. And so for them to not only not block you, but to circle back, to come back to the scene of the crime, heinous. Hi, that's heinous. Oh my God, it's sad. Poor Shelly. I'm feeling bad for Shelly. Maybe if someone wants to start a GoFundMe for Shelly, don't, because just don't do it, because she's going to give it to that guy again. So don't, I'm sorry, we shouldn't start a GoFundMe for Shelly. Don't donate to the GoFundMe. Okay. My mom just casually dropped that our family had mafia ties. Apparently, the grandpa that I thought was dead is very much alive. But we don't talk to him because one time he shorted the guy that ranked above him a bunch of money. And that guy sent someone after my mom to try and run her off the road with me and my baby sister in the car. I was only 2, so I have no memory of this. He also murdered the sheriff from the next county over. Where do you live? What is this? An old Western movie? Murdered the sheriff from the next county over? Those are words you don't hear every day. Sheriff, county. Okay, listen, I know, like, county isn't, like, it sounds Southern. I don't talk about counties a lot where I'm from, up in these parts. We don't talk about counties. We talk about towns. I'm not like, oh, what county are you from? That's not something that ever enters my consciousness ever. This is over 50 years ago, and dumped his body in the river, but pinned it on his best friend's twin boys. Wild. But now I know why my grandma and mom never talk about him. Is that a plot of a movie? Am I getting duped? Guys, tell me for real, is that the plot of a movie? Because that's sounding very much like the plot of a movie. Okay, so the grandpa that you thought was dead, like, I didn't know people fake their death still. Call me crazy. I thought that was something that just happened on the big screen. That's just something you read about in books. It's not something that happens in real life. People don't fake their death in real life, but apparently they do. God, you know, that's going to be the next trend in these gossip episodes. The next time we do a gossip episode, it's going to be like 30 people that fake their death. And I'm going to be like, oh, I'm learning so much about the world, truly. But that, okay, so he essentially almost got you killed, you and your sister and your mom, because he did some shady shit that got him in trouble. And so he almost got you killed. So then he faked his death. He also murdered the sheriff from the next county over. I can't get over that. And dumped his body in the river, but then pinned it on. Like, should you tell someone, do you think? Are the best friend's twin boys, like, in prison? Like, wrongfully convicted? Because if so, do I have to go to the sheriff? Like, what is my moral and ethical responsibility here? And now I'm kind of bestowing that moral and ethical obligation unto every single one of you listening. We're all in this together. Thank you, Kenny Ortega. Sorry, I have to stop saying that. Did I say that? Maybe I've just been saying that in my head. I don't know. I think I said it once. I talk about Kenny Ortega a lot. Do you guys know who Kenny Ortega is? The choreographer and the creator of High School Musical. Icon. Legend. He did a lot of other Disney movies. But we're not talking about him right now. We're talking about the murdered sheriff from the next county over. So I don't want Kenny Ortega to be a part of this, honestly. This is, it's heinous. It's insane. And like, what are you doing with that information just like sitting inside of your brain? I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Let's move on before we all get in trouble. Okay. When I was younger, 6 or 7 years of age, my friend's dad would be in and out of her life. And I always wondered why. Her mom was also very conventionally attractive. Okay. When I grew up, my mom told me the whole backstory about my friend's dad. Turns out he had an affair with my friend's elder sister's classmate, 14 to 16 years of age at the time. One thing I will say, illegal. That's a healthy dose of crime. That is not legal or moral or ethical at all. It's disgusting. Okay. Instead of leaving the man, the mom decided to get a bunch of treatments done for looking youthful to win my friend's dad back. No. To top that, he's been to jail twice for committing fraud in his luggage manufacturing business. Okay, he has to go to jail for much bigger crimes than fraudulent luggage. He has to do a lot more time. Okay, here are my thoughts. What is something that I say frequently on this podcast? When you find out that your boyfriend's been doing something weird and gross, and then you break up with him, what do I always say? I say that's so nice. The silver lining is that it's so nice because you can leave that relationship knowing that he's not the one that got away. You will never have second doubts about that relationship because he's weird or disgusting. I'm talking about like the guys that have slept with their cousins. You can have all the peace of mind in the world when you leave that relationship. This woman had that. She had that opportunity. She could have left her husband and said, oh my God, dodged a bullet there. That man is disgusting. I don't even want to look at him anymore. Instead, she did the opposite. She said, I want him to look at me more. And it's like, oh no, 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 no. That's illegal. There's also this, like, everything about this is illegal. Everything, it, like, even the things that aren't illegal are kind of feeling illegal here. This is illegal territory. I'm not loving it. I hate it, actually. I need to move on because it's just like, it's weirding me out. It's like freaking me out. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Okay. I'm a high school teacher. Last year, before I forget, actually, I don't know if it's next week's episode or the weeks after. Coming up, I'm doing an episode all about like high school scandals. I don't know if I've talked about it actually on the podcast, but I'm doing a high school scandals episode because I feel like so many people had like that one big story that happened at their high school, whether it was about a teacher or a student or whatever. There was some big scandal that kind of shook the town. And if you want to write in with your school scandal, you can. And this is a good reminder for anyone that wants to write in about literally anything. On the podcast Instagram now, I have a highlight reel, a little highlight section. You know what the highlights are, that says write in links. And so you can go and click on that, and it has all of the links for the currently open story time episodes that are coming up. So right now we still have confessions, we have high school scandals, we have a revenge. If you've ever sought revenge, you can write in about that. And then we also have the gossip link, so you can write in whenever you want. So those links will live there and you can go write them in. Okay. Just wanted to share that. And you said you were a high school teacher, so it was just in my head. Okay. Last year, there was a teacher that I worked with in my hallway that made up so many stories and was just in general your textbook pathological liar. She lied about weird, meaningless things at first, like saying she had family that was famous or connections to A-list celebrities. After about the 10th time, it became clear she was definitely lying. She then progressed on to lying about her past job experience when she applied for a position as a dance coach. She put down that she worked at a dance studio that does does not even exist. And she made a full fake Gmail account for them to do a reference check. But that's not even the worst of it. She told everyone last year that she adopted a baby. She would talk about the baby all the time, but no one ever saw the baby, not even a picture. That's crazy, even for like a pathological liar. Like, they would have some sort of evidence. They would have a picture. One of my friends is her neighbor and said she never saw her with the baby at all at her house. Towards the end of the year, she started saying that the baby was having health issues now and was constantly calling in a sub for her baby's doctor's appointments. Eventually, she told everyone that her baby was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer and that she needed an experimental treatment offered at a hospital in Texas. She ended up making a GoFundMe for this baby and shared it on Facebook, and people started donating. The administration at my school started receiving reports from parents and teachers about how they knew it was fraudulent. The school didn't renew her contract for the next year, and as far as I know, she was never investigated by the police. Ew. Ew, ew, icky. That is bad, bad karma. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Like, lying about a sick baby. It's also giving very much Catfish. If you guys have ever watched the show Catfish, if you haven't, what are you doing? Catfish is to this day like one of my all-time favorite comfort shows. I actually just watched all the new episodes that were on Hulu like last week. I'm obsessed. I love Catfish. But one thing that they always do is they will fake an illness or a car accident, or they will fake their mother's illness or car accident. Like, they will fake their sister's illness or car accident. They will fake anyone's illness. And it's this person, I'm convinced, is definitely a catfish. Just so you know, person who wrote this in, just so you know, you were working alongside a catfish. Okay. When I was like 9 years old, my great grandfather died. He used to live on a farm in South Carolina. So the day before his funeral, the whole family gathered at the farm to have kind of a celebration of life barbecue party. I was hanging out with my cousins on a trampoline, and we hear all the women in our family screaming at each other. We walk over to see what the commotion was about, and a random woman had swung on my mother, claiming that my dad was her man and that they had a 10-year-old together. They got into a full fist fight in front of everyone at the celebration of life. The family was able to separate them, and they asked the woman to leave, but she left her 10-year-old behind. What? And like 30 minutes later, the girl came up to me saying something along the lines of, she was gonna kill me because I took her dad. I'm 18, and to this day, she claims that my dad abandoned her. The DNA test showed that he was not the father. That is crazy. That is actually fully, fully insane. And what a specific thing to be so confidently wrong about. Do you know what I mean? Like, you show up to someone's celebration of life. And also, she probably didn't even know the great grandfather, because she only knew apparently your father. If that. I wonder, like, did your dad know her? Like, how did they know each other? Because that's so oddly specific. And then to show up to a celebration of life and cause a fist fight, like, you, there's something severely amiss. Why would you think that would be the best time and place to kind of reveal that information? But then for the information to also be incorrect, it like adds a whole other layer. There's so many layers here. That's kind of what I'm getting at. There are so, so many layers. Also, why did she leave her 10-year-old behind? I don't get that. How did the 10-year-old get home? I'm needing to know. But also, the 10-year-old did want to kill you. Like, that's, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. That is so, there's a lot going on there. And I don't even know how to really kind of address it all. One of my coworkers has been, quote unquote, seeing a woman for months now. I don't know if this means, like, visibly your coworker has been seeing this person, because the quotes are confusing me, or if they've been like dating and you're saying she was seeing this woman. I don't know. She has 3 kids and was married. A few months ago, her husband allegedly shot himself, but none of the forensic adds up. Rumor has it she shot her husband, and now CPS is threatening to remove her children. Meanwhile, my coworker buys her groceries, pays for her gas for the truck that she bought with the life insurance money, and watches her kids for free, all while she goes out partying. Seems sus if you ask me. Yeah, it is sus, but I'm so confused. Anyone else so confused? I'm obviously mostly, I would say, hung up on the fact that she allegedly shot her husband. Naturally, that was the part that kind of had me raising my eyebrows. And the forensics aren't adding up, but like, did the police just say like, oh, they're just not adding up? Weird. Must be one of those weird things. Like, is she being investigated by the police? And why is CPS just threatening to remove the children? Because if they think that she's a literal murderer, I think they should, you know, kind of move with a little bit of gusto here. They should be like, let's quit it with the threats. Let's just kind of do it. Let's just kind of like whisk her children away to safety, because that's not. And she's going out partying. I don't know. What is this? What an enigma. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. Except I'm scared. That's what I will say. This one grabbed my attention because it's titled Reused Foot Water. Naturally, you can understand why that would have me thinking, what's the story here? Okay, so not really gossip, but I was getting a pedicure before spring break and I politely asked if the water could be a little warmer. It was like room temperature. Anyway, the lady said yes and went in the back and came back with a bucket. And I was like, that's weird. She scooped 3 big scoops of the water and put it in a different bowl for a different customer. No. Keep in mind, my feet had been in the water for like 10 minutes. I looked at my mom, who was with me, and was like, needless to say, we aren't going back there because I don't want to get foot fungus. I love the pod and you. I'm confused. Every single time I've gotten a pedicure, I sit in the chair and the bowl that I put my feet in is empty and they will turn the little nozzle and it will start filling up the bowl with water. I have never sat down while the bowl was already full, because that's weird. I always see them turn the water on. So that's, it's so concerning, because you have no choice but to wonder, was your bowl the reused foot water? You have no choice but to wonder that. Maybe, okay, here's maybe, this could be what was happening. This could be a lifeline for them. Maybe your bowl wasn't draining properly, and so they had to physically remove the water themselves, and they were storing it in a neighboring foot bath just before they drained it, because maybe I really tried. I made a valiant effort. No one can say I didn't try. That wraps up this Monday's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I will catch you next Monday. Thanks for listening. Bye.